first days, our churches ought to be full across this land. Do you know it? As we look out upon our nation and what God has done for our nation as the United States, and if we really thank the Lord, there should not be enough of seats in any churches across this nation to hold the people of the outpouring of thanksgiving what God has done for this country. This morning we'll be in a little different book of the Bible. I was planning on going to Daniel, but we'll be in Psalms 137, but it's talking about the time that Daniel and three Hebrew children, when they was carried away into captivity, I had a wrestle with the Lord which direction to go in. I wanted to preach from Daniel chapter 5, and the party's over, but it's not where God wants me to go. You see, we've been dealing in Daniel where the nation of Israel was carried away into captivities because of their sin. Now, we've been dealing with Daniel and just those three Hebrew children throughout the book of Daniel, and also that wicked, wicked king. But you see, there was more than just three or four people that was carried away into captivity. The whole nation, the young people, the rich people, was carried away. They left the old and the ones was out and the sick. They left them in the city of Jerusalem, and they just took the young people and also the rich and the wealthy. And that's the way it is in our country. The one they're carrying away now by the devil himself is the young people. The old people he's not concerned about much, but the devil really wants our young people. And we find out there was others along with Daniel and the three Hebrew children that we call them. There was others. We have a lot of others in the United States. And all these people, though, we know at the nation of Israel, they helped to bring God's judgment on that nation. And what we're doing this day in this hour, we're helping to bring God's judgment upon this nation. The people across our nation, they have voted to close the doors of many a church. Did y'all know that? They start off by not having no services on Sunday night. A lot of people, most Baptist churches, there's a lot of people in most of our Baptist churches has voted by their attendance not to come on Sunday night to close the doors. Then they have a lot of churches that close the doors on Wednesday night. And this is a vote in our country. It's really telling us that we really don't have time for God. This is what they've done in the nation of Israel. They didn't have room, didn't have time for God, and they served other gods. We just know that ourselves that we're doing the same thing in our country today. We're just serving other gods. They didn't need the church at all, and they just have no room for God. So they know that God loves them, so we're going to live any way we want to. Well, one day, the nation of Israel, they reached up there and called 911 with a telephone. Hello, God. But you see, there was no answer. God says, you done crossed over my line, nation of Israel. He says, I will not hear you. There's no answer for the nation of Israel. And he brought King Nebuchadnezzar in, and he took those people out of their homeland. God's chosen people. We would say the day they're saved, and there was no answer. Now, I do believe one day in this United States, if we keep going the direction that we're going in, hello, God. We're not going to have no answer. Your prayers, the prayers of other people didn't reach God. He said, I won't hear your prayers. But I believe that we got enough of godly people in our country that we could turn this thing around. I believe we got enough of people that remembers how it was. In Jeremiah and also in Nehemiah was the same time they was carried away. Jeremiah, he prophesied about the nation before they ever went into captivity, about the way you're living. You can't keep doing God like you're doing and kicking him out, Nehemiah says. And he was called the weeping prophet because, you see, it caused his heart to weep. Now, Nehemiah, after God had prophesied through Jeremiah that they would stay in captivity for 70 years, at that time, you read the book of Nehemiah and the news come to him, it's time for the release. The nation of Israel, they could go back when they wanted to. And they got a group of people to go back. And it says that Nehemiah, he wept and he mourned certain days because of his friends brought him word how the gates was tore down, the walls were tore down, and gates was burnt in a beautiful city called Jerusalem. And a remnant of people went back. But not all people went back. There was a lot of people, a lot of Jews, they got very comfortable in the land of Babylon. And you see a lot of Christians today is very comfortable in the world and they don't want to go back. But God caused something to happen to them and they rebuilt that city. They rebuilt that city. And I do believe there's enough of people that still remembers how it used to be in our country. Here are the ones that are with us today. I believe there'll be a turning back. I believe there's going to be a turning back. And I also believe whenever you, me, or whoever it is decides to turn back and remember how it was whenever I was growing up and what this country was founded on, and we've got away from the Constitution through the leadership in the White House and also in Washington, D.C., is getting completely away of the Constitution. People voted to get away from our Constitution that was founded on a God-fearing nation. This man is getting us completely away, and there's a party that's getting us completely away of God founding of our earthly heritage through Jesus Christ, or the what we call the Bible. But I believe in whenever people decide to turn back, you see, I believe they'll bring their family back. I believe people are going to follow them back. It did in Nehemiah's days. But let's look at these people now. There was those people that we mentioned in Daniel, those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But see, there was many, many others. Now, this psalm is talking about the others. It might have been talking about those four too, but it's talking about the others, about a stolen song. They could not sing anymore. Why? Because they was in captivity. And did you know that we can't sing the songs that we used to sing in this country because we're in captivity? Or we might have the words of it, but the joy is not in our heart. When I looked upon the television and I saw all the great fireworks and they were singing God Bless America and all these great songs, but you see, there's something missing. Because it's holler. Because we're not really understanding the God blessness of we have in our country this day. We forgot about this. Younger generation don't know what it's all about, fireworks and parties. But I tell you, God founded this country where people believe it or not. As I said, the liberals, they are liberals in this country, and they're getting away from the God foundation of this country just as fast as they can. No mention of God. We're being carried away already. Now, some of us can already remember how it used to be in our country. And you see today, it shows us by what you see today and where we're living at, that we are already in a very strange country. It's very strange when I saw television that this lady at work at some university or another had a cross on her, wore a chain with a cross on it. And they would ask her, did y'all see that? They would ask her to take that cross off because it might defend someone. Well, she said, that defends me when you ask me to take the cross off. And she won her case. But you mean to tell me in a university of our country that a person can't wear a chain around their neck with a cross on it? We're in a very strange land that we're living in this day. And we have people in higher offices of our country, from the president all the way down, that don't believe in God. You see, we're already in captivity. Nebuchadnezzar did not believe in God. So there's a stolen song, you see, and they was carried away, thousands of them, into captivity, the nation of Israel. And I believe in the book of Daniel and all the surrounding books, it points to the book of Daniel, is telling us about the United States and what's happening. God is letting us know, because it's already written down in the Bible, exactly what's taking place in our country. And he's telling us exactly what's going to take place if we keep going and kicking God out of everything. You can't even wear a cross around your neck because it might defend somebody. I'll tell you, the United States, our nation is in a crisis. It is in a great crisis. But I believe there's enough of people that can remember. As these people, they remember how it used to be in their homeland. And I remember how it used to be in this homeland. And when they sung God Bless America, that you know what? Sometimes the people would stand up and that you could feel a knot come in your throat and maybe tears in your eyes whenever he'd sing these patriotic songs about God Bless America. I tell you, we're living in a strange land. But we're in a crisis. The lights are being blown out across our country because of the indecency and because, you see, just living without God. International terrorism is coming to our country, whether you believe it or not. We don't have enough of power to keep them out. But you see, not only that, we know that the natural disaster has been hitting us pretty hard. And God's trying to get our attention. Remember, all through the Bible, before God ever judged the nation, he started on the natural resources of that nation and the natural disasters of that nation. We're having things happen in our country that most of us never remember before is happening. It might be wildfire, it might be earthquakes, you know, it might be tornadoes, it might be whatever it might be. It might be some more rain than you've ever seen before. I don't know what it might be, but God's trying to get our attention. Now, the tragic story is how God gave the nation Israel the land they lived in, flowing with milk and honey, houses they did not build. I'm going to tell you, vineyards that they did not plant. He gave them that land. But he also gave them a law. Without the law of God, they did not know how to behave. They didn't know what to do. God gave them the laws of how to live and how to worship God. But not only that, God gave them the Lord. He was a Jehovah God that no other nation had, this God, Jehovah. No other nation can serve this God like the nation Israel could serve this God. You know what? They couldn't come in and worship God. They had the temple on this place on earth that God really come down and fellowship with his people. But there was only one man could go in there one time a year, and that was the high priest into the holies of holies. But oh, I'm going to tell you what, that temple and also that tabernacle was set there to let the people know that's where God meets with mankind at. And also that's where sins was forgiven at. I'm telling you here this day that we have the land that God has given us. You people say, well, you know, we're the richest nation in the world. We are. Do you think we got more natural resources than other nations? No. Well, what is it that caused us to be so great? It's because of our God. It's because our past generations have served and worshiped our God. Well, how about the laws? Well, we had laws that protect the Word of God for many years in this country. We had laws that protect on Sunday that you see a lot. Most of the stores, I remember whenever you go to town, you better get you some gas because you couldn't find hardly a filling station open on Sunday. You couldn't find one. I know some of them had to be open. I'm thank God because of emergency, there was some open. But people didn't work on Sunday. Sunday was a holy day. It wasn't just for the people that were saved or the church-going people. You know what? Everybody just about it reverenced the day it's called the Lord's Day. Everybody. No building going on. No horses and mules in the field. No tractors. See, no boats back of a car or a truck or anything going fishing, because most people didn't have no boats or car, either one. But there was no fishing. Of course, we know that a few always did. But you see, God had blessed this country because, you see, we had the law. But also, you know what? We had the Lord. And that was more important than all of it. Because I told you many times, you see, when they didn't have this SSI and Social Security and welfare and food stamps for someone that won't work and go out and do what they ought to do, they didn't have it because people worked for a living. They worked, just like God said they ought to work. They had the Lord, and those that couldn't work, God made provisions for them. God made provisions for them because they had the Lord. And I'm telling you, there was a great song to sing at that time because they had these three, and we had these three. But you see, the nation Israel, our nation Israel, they defied the land. God says, let the land rest once every 7 years. Don't plant it. Leave it for the strangers and the poor. Don't plant your fields. Well, you know, they didn't do that for over 70 years. One year for every 70 years they carried into captivity for the years they did not do that. It was 400 years. And you see, they defiled the land. But not only that, you find out they denied the Lord. They denied the Lord. And how did they do that? They defied the law that God said that you must go by. So God says, I'll send you a built-in judgment. The Babylonian captivity is going to carry away you into a strange land. And then they describe this in Psalms chapter 137, verses 1 through 4. They describe the people and how their reaction was. And if you think today, you know, we ought to be in the same condition to think where we at in this country today. Christians today, are we carried away? The United States really have done the same thing to the Word of God. And it says in Psalm 137, by the river of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now that ought to cause us to weep this morning. You think back to people, now we ought to weep to know where our country is today and the leadership, the ungodliest leadership that any people in the world could have. We got it. How do you know that? Because they're anti-God, anti-Christian, the anti-Christ. They get away from God and Jesus Christ. Jesus says you either for me or you against me. Is Jesus Christ for abortion? Is Jesus Christ for homosexuals? Marrying? He loves the sinners, as we should, but he's against it. And then you have a man up there in office, it's for that. Well, he's either for Jesus or against Jesus. And if you support this type of stuff, you either for Jesus or you against Jesus. And that's where we at today that you and I are living in. There's so many people is against Jesus Christ because the way they support and what they support in the country we're living in. We leave God no choice to bring in judgment upon us. And this should cause us to weep as they did. It says in verse 2, we hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they wasted us, required us of myrrh and saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. They say, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee in the name of Jesus Christ for this great country. Father, I know that you live in the hearts of many, many people across this nation. They are saved people, Father, and they support your church. They support the things of God. And Father, we want to thank you for living in the hearts of people as you said you would. Father, we know it's possible for many times for even Christians to go astray and turn and go back and go separate ways. Father, we know there will be a calling back, and we're praying that there will be a calling back upon this great land of nation that we live in. Because, Father, I believe that we will do what you said in your holy word, that you will hear us. And, Father, you will heal our land. And, Father, we pray for the healing of our land. But, first of all, we know we need a healing of the heart to say what's right. And, Father, do what's right in the name of Jesus Christ. It will cause our heart to be sad this morning to realize that we are in the same condition that the nation of Israel was in whenever they was carried away. And they want to do something about it. It took a while, but after a while they did do something about it. They remembered. And I tell you, we should remember where we used to be and where we come from and where we are today. I pray, Father, if there's a person here this hour has never said with you as Lord and Savior, this will be today. Because, Father, with one more person believing in Jesus Christ makes it stronger and makes it possible, Lord, that we can have a turning back to you. So we thank you, Lord. We pray that you will honor this service here today. Father, that your name might be honored and glorified. And, Father, that's the reason we're here this day, to honor and glorify you. It's not about each other, but it's about you. Father, we want to thank you for all these many blessings here this day. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Max Licato, I guess most of y'all have read, he got a lot of books out. I've read several of them, but he told a story about Chippy the parrot, or the parakeet. The parakeet says he never saw it coming. The problem was this parakeet, the owner of this parakeet, was cleaning out his cage with a vacuum cleaner. And he was cleaning out this cage with a vacuum cleaner, and the phone went off, and she reached over to get the phone, not looking what she was doing, and sucked up old Chippy in the vacuum cleaner. Well, immediately, she said, well, Lord, what have I done? She stopped the vacuum cleaner, opened it up, and there was old Chippy, old dusty up and feathers all over the place. She said, my goodness, what am I going to do now? So she ran to the bathroom with a faucet, just turned the water on old Chippy, just washed him off. Man, and after she got through washing him off, he was wet all over and shaking and cold. And with her compassion, she said, I know what I'll do. I'll turn the hairdryer on him. So she turned the hairdryer on him and blowed old Chippy till he got dry. Well, some people later, she had talked about what she had done. She says, how's old Chippy doing? Well, she said, he don't know what hit him. He don't sing anymore. He just sits there and he looks around and just stares. Wondering why. Well, Chippy didn't really know as he just sat there and stares, but someone said he'd been sucked in, he'd been washed up, and he'd been blown over. And I want to tell you that's exactly where a lot of us stand today. You and I, we have lost our song. We've been taken into captivity. We've been sucked in by the world. We have been washed up by the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, we've been blown over by Satan. That's exactly where we stand. And we didn't know what hit us as old Chippy the parakeet did. Till I'm going to tell you, it's hit us hard. It's hit us fast. And a lot of people that love Jesus Christ don't really know the condition that we're in today. But God gave us a lesson from this book. It was called the Bible and also Babylon, because Babylon really represents the world and really Satan and really this old flesh with his vanity and his vexation. Jerusalem, it talks about, is where the saints and the songs are sung. Are there any song in your heart today that's singing the praises? You saw the heard these songs sung, God Bless America, and all these great songs this past week. And I think it's a great time that we celebrate. But you see, the songs got stolen. They've been stolen for us today. We can't sing the songs of our country with the meaning as we used to sing them in this country. We can't fill churches today when it comes time to worship and honor Lord as we used to. And I'm afraid one of these days, you see, is like as a nation of Israel. 1 Samuel 8 and 18 says, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall choose." You have chosen this king. "And the Lord will not hear you in that day." And as I said, the nation of Israel, they reached for the phone and called 911. Hey, they're carrying us away into captivity. And God said, because the king that you have chosen, not the king over Jerusalem, but the king they serve, which is a godless king, and us the same today, "Have you have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you." I believe we're going to reach up and call for 911, and the God's not going to hear us. Our biggest threat and our biggest danger is not from a foreign country. Our biggest threat and our biggest danger is coming from God Almighty himself. He's the one that sets nations up. He's the one that brings nations down. Why have they been taken captivity? The same reason that we're going to be taking, we're living in captivity right now, not going to be, but we're in already because of the crisis. Isaiah 59, verse 1 on, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But, your iniquities have separated between you and your God." You see, when you sin, have it in your heart, and the way that we live and the people we support, God says, "I'm not going to hear you. Your sins have hid my face from you that ye will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perversities. None call for justice. None any plead for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. None of them call for justice." Do you see any justice coming out of our Washington, D.C. now? All they have plenty of parties, but do you see any justice in our White House? You see these four people got killed in the foreign land? You heard anything from that? Whose fault was it? It's nothing but a bunch of lies. How about your IRS? You see what they're doing to IRS? They are converting this country into a liberal nation because of the power that we have allowed our government to have, the liberals of this country. They are converting our country because they have the power to do so. They have no truth. We were supposed to hear more truth and transparency than any other president, and there's less than ever been in any of them all put together. He says, listen, these lies, they speak lies. He said, "I will not hear you." Bloody hands, oceans of blood, and the holocaust of millions and millions and millions of unborn babies crying out from the ground against us this day. 1972, Roe versus Wade. Still, people votes. How a Christian can vote for abortion, I don't understand. But they vote for the people that support this. He says, lying lips, leaders. As I said, our IRS and our White House and the wicked hands they have to devour this country by the power that we have set before them. So we're going to go into the first part of it, the sad misery of a captive Christian. You know, it's sad to me today, and it's sad as I stand here today, and it should be sad to a lot of us to understand what is the really this problem that we're talking about here, the sadness of it. Well, that verse 1 again that I read, the river of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remember Zion, sadness to our heart, when we thought about the sweet fellowship of the Lord. Zion is a place of Jerusalem. It's a place there of where God met with the people. And it was sad. It's sad today to think, you know, how that we used to honor God in our country, and we don't honor God no more. You know, it's sad whenever our children, I can remember we marched into the cafeteria whenever even I was in grammar school, and you know what? Before we eat, we bowed our heads. And we had prayer. I mean, that whole class did before you eat. And we got back to our room a lot of times, and our teacher would read us some Bible story or just the Bible about Jesus Christ and that love. And I know there was lost people because I was lost myself. And you see, they had 10 commandments on the school law. And then you see, you drove across our nation, and you always see the nativity scenes put up all over the place. Come Christmas time, nobody didn't talk about not having a Christmas tree. It was a Christ tree, really, for everybody. They understood it was a birth of Christ. And we honor that across our nation, that God met with this nation. And because we're a great nation, because of how that we treated God and how we treat God is the way God treats us. And we don't know what's going to happen. We'll just keep going the way we're going. But they remember the sweet fellowship with God. You know, one cannot be saved and be in captivity, you know, and we're living in a day and be out of fellowship with God and still have joy. You see, a Christian now is tucked away into captivity. Put it this way. If you're saved and you're not serving and you're not worshiping God, you're not a happy Christian. There's no way that you could be a happy Christian and not serve and worship Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As you think about this, you cannot have joy and worldliness at the same time. Israel was out of their homeland because of their sin. And a person don't have the joy that out of their homeland because of sin, or where they should be with the Lord. The temple was a place that God met with mankind, as I said, and he presented himself. Unhappy and most miserable person is not the person that's lost today on the streets having a good time. But I'm going to tell you, it's a saved person that will not worship and come and worship Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's a very, very unhappy person. I've talked to people all the time. And, you know, some of them will tell me, say, well, I know I hadn't been to church. They hadn't been to church in 3 or 4 years, but I'm not backslidden. I would like to tell them, I agree with you, you're not. Because you got to be saved to be backslidden. You got to be a saved person to ever backslide. And a lot of them's not. They have tried church. They've tried the preacher, and they didn't like him. They tried singing. They didn't like the singing. They've tried everything, but they have not tried Jesus. Jesus will change you. And we're here for the cause of Jesus, not for the preacher, not for the singing, not for anything else, but we're here for Jesus. We're not here for one another. We're here for Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you'll understand this. Happiness is not joy. But you see, when there's no happiness, thank the Lord, they can still be joy. They can still be joy. You know, a lot of people think success will bring joy. Well, that is a failure if success is at the wrong thing. You see, no joy. God is the one who is going to engineer your sorrow. Did you know God engineered the nation of Israel, his apple of his eye, his chosen nation? And God engineered a wicked nation to come into that nation and destroy that nation as they knew it and to carry them away. God engineered that. And you see, God's going to engineer a certain sorrow for our country. God's got to engineer a certain sorrow for anybody that turns their back on Jesus Christ and will not worship and serve him. You know, he's got a built-in sorrow that he's going to engineer just for you. Jeremiah 25:8 it says, therefore said the Lord of hosts, because you have not hearkened my word, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabit thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them of astonishment and a hissing, potential desolation. Moreover, I will take thee from the voice of myrrh and of the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of millstone and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be desolate and astonished. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. 70 years. Is Daniel be in there? 70 years. That's God's built-in sorrow for the nation of Israel. You reckon he has some sorrow for us? Why did God send that nation of Israel into captivity? Because he didn't love them? No, because he loved them so much. He loved them so much. God has already, I guarantee you, God knows what's going to happen. He's already got a type of sorrow for the country that you and I are living in. It's a built-in sorrow. That person even, that's saved and won't worship the Lord, there's a built-in sorrow. This nation that founded on God will not worship God. Once upon a time, there was a family very active in the church. This is what a prayer of a praying preacher wrote down. The family was very active in church. Mothers and fathers, they came on Wednesday night, as you know a lot of them does, and then Sunday morning, and also Sunday morning and Sunday night, Sunday school. But through the world and through the flesh and through the devil, you see, they lost their interest for some reason or another. Well, the preacher went to see them, the deacons went to see them, Sunday school teachers and others visited them, and trying to get them to come back to church. No, they make excuses. Somebody in that church, I don't like the preacher, I don't like what he says. One excuse after another excuse. One day one of the boys, whose name was John, got bit by a rattlesnake. Very, very critical condition. Carried him to the doctor, and the doctor said, I've done all I can. All you can do is just pray for him. Well, guess what? The father called the preacher to come and pray for John. He was in very, very critical condition. So this old wise preacher, he came, he says, and bowed his head. He said, oh, wise father, oh, righteous father, thank you that you see the wisdom that you sent this rattlesnake to bite old John. To bring him to his senses, because he's not been in church, he's not worshiped and served you in years. All he does is make it excuses after excuses after excuses. I trust this lesson will bring him to his repentance, oh father. Send other snakes to bite his brother Sam, his brother Jim, and also that old man is called his father. All of our effort could not do what one little snake done. Father, we need bigger and better rattlesnakes. Amen. That sounds kind of strange, don't it? But you see, that's some built-in sorrow that I'm talking about. You know, we can go and we can visit people until you get tired and wore out. They don't want to see you come. They ain't coming. But when they have a visit from God with that building sorrow, they'll say, Oh God. And all these excuses be burned away by the judgment of God. And you know what? A lot of times you see them coming through that front door. And you've done everything you can. But whenever God gets their attention with that building sorrow, as he did the nation of Israel, and he will me, and he will you, and he will everybody, because you see, he's our judge. He got their attention. All effort was done. God has engineered our sorrow. He's engineered the nation of Israel's sorrow. Goodness. The stinging memory of a captive Christian. Verse 1, by the river of Babylon, we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. Zion, holy land, Jerusalem, place where people, the temple was, and a place where the fellowship with God would met. You see, in the cleansing of sin, history tells about our country as we look back and we see our homeland and what our homeland has been through the wars, everything how God has been with us. And you say, where are the people to remember? Do you remember how it used to be? Do you remember where we come from and our country and where we are today? Now, I'm not blaming the politicians, I'm going to tell you right now. We got the worst, probably the politician up there in the White House. I know we got the worst president ever set on this throne of his country. There's no doubt about that, because he hates everything that Jesus Christ is for and all of the ones that follows him. But I'm not blaming them. They're not the problem. They're not the problem. You know who the problem is? Me. And you. It's the hearts of the people. And the younger generation, see all the time, the more the younger generation is support this type of thing as we got up there. Because they're for the things that's against Christ. They're for homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and on and on and on and on, and on against Jesus Christ. And that's what he supports. So they for them. Our colleges, our liberal colleges, is producing young people across this nation. It's going to be exactly what we have in our White House, because they're going to be for this thing. They've got rid of the conservative. They're all liberals just about in colleges now. Be careful, college students. You'll know what I'm talking about. Be careful, because you go into a foreign land whenever you go into colleges or universities. The liberal of this country has took over. The Holy Land. We don't have any memory a lot of time when we have the Lord's Supper. You know that ought to be the biggest service that we have when they have the Lord's Supper first of every quarter? Sunday night. See, it's not a Baptist supper, it's the Lord's Supper for Christians. But you see, very few people have come back on Sunday night to take the Lord's Supper. He said, remember. You know what? A lot of time ago, people don't remember. They don't remember. You know what God's calling our country to now? To remember. That's what the 4th of July is all about. What, 230-something years of our anniversary? To remember where we come from. Remember what God has done for this country. To remember. A lot of people don't remember. 1 John 2:19, it tells us they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. They separated themselves. You can tell them. They're not going to stick with it. They went out, God said. They tried everything but Jesus Christ. Taken captive, the misery and the memories are interwoven together. They cannot can remember back when where they used to be in the stinging memory of this captivity. And I picture people that was captured in the war and these camps that they was captured in, prisoner of war camps. And I think about their homeland. If you was going off to war and you was captured and you was put in one of these prisoner of war camps, what could you remember about your homeland? Clyde Thomas always comes to my mind whenever I see this. Some of y'all don't know who Clyde Thomas is, but he was a preacher that in World War II, I guess it was, is I correct? That he had they gave him New Testament Bible, you know, the Civil Liberty Union supported by the Democratic Party, you know. Civil Liberty Union is against Christ. That's who why that come about in. But back in those days, they couldn't take your Bible away from them. Civil Liberty Union wouldn't say anything about it. But you see, he had a little New Testament. And you see, you don't know how it feels, you see, unless you had that little New Testament your Bible took away from you by a point of a bayonet. And he remembered, he said, his homeland. He remembered his boyhood. He remembered the country, the United States, which he was fighting for. He was carried away and he was captive in a foreign land, and he remembered. I wonder if you was carried away, would you remember what Christ has done for you? I'm afraid that it's failing away from us so fast. Sarcastic mockery of captivity, the people there, in verses 2 and 3, as I've done read. We hang our harps upon the willows in the midst of thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required us of mire. Sing one of those songs of Zion. You see, in John 15:19, it says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you. Well, the Philistines really rejoiced, as you find out in the book of Samuel. And Samuel, you know, we find out that he was captured in the Babylonians. You know what? They was tickled to death. They was cried out because they had captured him. He couldn't sing his song because he was in captivity. But you see, we sing, God Bless America. And you see this all over the place. God Bless America. You show it on television. They stand up and sing God Bless America. And then you see them when they're pouring their beer. God Bless America. And they're smoking their weed. God Bless America. And they're popping their pills. God Bless America. And they line up and buying the lotto tickets. God Bless America. What in the world? How in the world could God bless America? But yet we'll sing that song. It's so hollow now. And then the silent melody of the captive Christian, you know, the song in verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The Lord's song. What is the Lord's song today? Can you sing the Lord's song? The Lord's song is a song of deliverance. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Psalm 32:7 tells us how beautiful that it is. I love an old song, 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah, what do you think about that? You know, the first song that was recorded in the Bible, the song of Moses in Deuteronomy, the song of deliverance when they was out of Egypt. 600,000 voices. Could you imagine praising God? Oh, that was just going to be a little tip of what it's going to be when we get to heaven, when millions and millions and millions of voices is going to be singing out. Praise to the Lamb, praise to the Lamb. Out of bondage. A miracle of the beautiful. The star-spangled banner. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I always get choked up on that. Psalm 42:3 tells us, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he said, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Ephesians 5:19 says, speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, what can steal your song? What have stole your song? Do you have a song to sing this morning? Well, you see, sorrow really can't steal your song because Jesus Christ was facing the cross of Calvary. And it says in Matthew 26:30, and when they sang a hymn, they went out to Mount Olive. They sung a hymn going to the cross of Calvary. Sorrow cannot steal your joy and your song. Suffering cannot steal it. Acts 16:25. And at midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You see, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang songs. No matter what you're going through, I tell you, you can still sing if you remember. You see, the nation of Israel, they remembered. And I tell you, it brought sadness to their eyes. And I tell you, it ought to bring sadness to our eyes to know the shape that this country's in right now. And the shape because of me. As I said, I'm not blaming it on the White House and the congressman. I'm blaming it on Christians across our land. There's a reason we have these laws. If there's enough of us to stand up against, they wouldn't have these. Psalm 51:14 said, deliver me from bloodless guilt, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Jeremiah 20:24 says, for I will set my eyes upon them for good, and will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up again, and will give a heart to know me, and I am their God. They shall be my people, and I'll be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And it says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his ways and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, I don't believe it's too late for our country. I don't believe it's too late. I believe we've got enough of people in our country can remember what God has done, can remember where our country used to be and the country that I grew up in, and I believe we can bring it back. But you see, it's going to take a heart for God to do it. It's going to take revival. It's not going to take revival in this church. Now, I said a lot of churches, they're voting to close the door, and a lot of people are voting to close the door because they won't come. But thank God that we still have 3 services a week for the faithful people that can still remember. And I appreciate you, I tell you, I really do. And I appreciate this church, and I thank God for this nation. He's blessed above any other nation, including the nation of Israel, I believe. So don't let anything steal your song. I want to say praise to God. I wish I could sing, Marshall. Marshall makes me plumb mad. I don't like him. Preachers, I wish I could sing. Me and Nancy are going to sing a song one of these days. If the Lord has touched your heart to come with a song of invitation, I tell you, I hope you got a song. I can't sing out loud, but I sing in my heart. You know, you may not can sing very good outside, but you can sing real good inside in your heart. And I hope that you have a song in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and for our nation. Because I do believe that we could come back. I don't believe God's through with our country. I'm not going to give up. Why aren't you not going to give up? Because I want my kids, and I want my grandkids, and I want my great-grandkids, and I don't want to have a country like I had to grow up in. And we need to carry that baton and pass it on to the next generation. No matter what they do up there in the White House, I tell you what, we can still have victory and glory in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, as we stand for this invitation hymn.